This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today. It's wonderful when we, each week, as we sense the presence of God amongst us. It's an amazing thing to be able to do that. And to, you know, in Headingley, in Yorkshire, God's here as well and ministering to us. And if you feel that the Lord gives you a prayer to pray, or a prophecy, or a tongue, or a word of knowledge of some sort, then when there's space like that, feel free to share it. Just shout it out from wherever you are. And who knows, it'll be a blessing to somebody or all of us. I want to introduce you to Matt. Matt's he's a local GP, but he's also on our leadership group, and I've asked him to speak today on the way we approach our ministry outside of the church to people who aren't necessarily in these four walls. And I think he's got a real anointing on his life for this whole area, and a really interesting approach to that, looking after ourselves as we do that. So I'm going to hand over to him in a moment. Let me just pray for him. We recognize your presence with us, Lord Jesus, and we are sitting here with our ears open, waiting for you to speak, and we ask you to bless Matt as he shares with us what you've put on his heart. Would you anoint his word for us and bless him with peace as he shares, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, David. Well, good morning. If you can... leave it there. That's fine. Good morning. It's great to see you, and especially, again, a really big warm welcome to the extended Steer family. I'm Matt, and I've got the huge privilege of talking to you this morning about this subject of helping without hurting. It's a massive subject. Now, in my research for this talk, I came across all sorts of different ways of helping and not being quite so helpful. But I found none more inspired than this. So I'm hoping that the technology will work.
Yes, video. In today's modern world, you can watch what you're doing, or you can watch where you're going, but you can't do both. And now, you don't have to, thanks to Guiding Hands. At Guiding Hands, we understand how important it is to stay connected when you're on the go. Simply request a guiding hand, and within seconds, we'll be at your side, ready to guide you to your destination. Let us navigate your world so you can navigate the web. Your guiding hand will take care of all the pesky distractions that once forced you to look up. We look out for you so you can keep an eye on the things that matter most. Enjoy the security that comes in knowing you are finally, truly connected.
Wouldn't that be amazing? It'd be fantastic to be able to just focus on your phone or other things and just get somebody to guide you along. But probably not the most helpful intervention or piece of help that we could give other people. I don't know about you, but I often feel bombarded by constant reminders of the overwhelming need around me. Whether it's a flick on my phone looking at the BBC webpage, a walk through town, or as a GP, an average day in my surgery. As a GP, I all too often see so many people in desperate need and crushing circumstances. I often feel so helpless, not knowing what I can do. I remember one consultation afterwards, just having been hammered by this person coming in with about 26 different issues. So many things going on. I was like, just about to break down. But I often get to a point where I think I'm helping, but I end up doing more harm. I think I've said the right thing, but I end up not having shown enough care or empathy. I think I'm taking the right action, but it's not what the person wanted or, more importantly, needed. I look and fumble around for answers when there may not be any. I try to take action when all that's required is actually to stop and to listen to the person. If you're anything like me, you're passionate. You want to change the world. You want to see people change. God's touched you with his love, and you want to respond with love in action. But maybe you've no idea how, or you've tried something and it's backfired. Or perhaps you do know what you need to do, but you're just struggling with the overwhelming need and your ability to meet it. So where do we go from here? Well, I hope this morning just to begin to unpack the subject of helping without hurting. I'd love to consider how we can make a positive, lasting difference without hurting ourselves and other people in the process. And before I carry on, I'd like to make a major disclaimer, and that is to say that I am not an expert in this. I often fail and get it wrong, as I say, and we can only scratch the surface this morning. But I do hope that we can pick up some tips from what God says to us through his word, the Bible. So before I carry on, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful community of faith, for the time that people sacrificially give, for the care shown to one another, and for the money that many so generously give in enabling what this church does to happen. Help us to see through your eyes the need around us, and fill us with your Holy Spirit to share your good news with those in need. Would you speak through the words that I say this morning? Amen. So this morning we're going to be hopping around the Bible. So if you don't have one, stick your hand up and one of the welcome team will gladly come and find you and give you a Bible. If you want to borrow it, that's absolutely fine. Just leave it at the end. If you want to take it away, then you're more than welcome to. And you can take it away for free, or if you'd like to make a donation, you're more than welcome to as well. Now, a couple of weeks ago, my lovely wife Anne talked about the idea of reverse Advent, getting a shopping list, and when you go shopping, buying some extra items along the way. We are aiming to bring everything back on Sunday the 11th of December, so if you are doing that, brilliant. If you haven't started, then by all means, pick up a list and get shopping. Go for it. Anne also talked in her a couple of weeks ago from Luke chapter 4, and particularly focusing on verse 18. And I think this is going to be a great place for us to start our journey of exploration of what helping without hurting means. So let's read. So from Luke chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." Now, Jesus, it says, was anointed. Very simply, anointing was just the process of pouring oil over somebody's head. It was an outward way of bestowing God's authority on that person, showing that that person was being filled with the Holy Spirit to enable them to complete their calling. So in my mind, it raises two questions. Firstly, do I know who God has made me to be, what I'm good at, what I love doing, what God is calling me to in my life? And secondly, have I been filled with the Holy Spirit to complete that calling? As a very simple example, knowing that you are good at and you love meetings and reports and all things organisational means that if you get yourself into a role, say as a trustee or an office-based role, you get to have an amazing impact on helping other people. But maybe somebody else may struggle with that side of things, and putting them into that position may end up doing more harm than good. And secondly, have I been filled with the Holy Spirit? When we take time to wait on God, we get to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we get to do things in his strength rather than in our own strength. So the first thing that we can do to help without hurting is to know who we are. So the next thing that I think that we can do is to understand who we are helping. Let me read from Luke chapter 7, verse 11 to 15. It says, "Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, 'Don't cry.' Then he went up and touched the coffin they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said, 'Young man, I say to you, get up.' The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother." So Jesus saw the mother. She had already lost her husband, and now she had lost her only son. And I believe his heart broke for her. What about for us? When we see this overwhelming need around us, what do we see? How do we respond to that? Do we respond by just feeling like, oh, it's another person to consume my time and energy? Or maybe we see someone who is a project to fix, or someone to give us a fix of feel good. Or do we see them as Jesus sees them? With love and empathy. Does our heart break as theirs has already done? As I say, this is something I often struggle with, especially in my surgery. When I run out of, I care as much as I can, but sometimes I just get to the point of struggling to give that empathy that I need to. But just sometimes, God blesses me with just a little glimpse of what is going on in somebody's life. It was a little while ago when I was seeing somebody and they were just telling me terrible, harrowing stories from their childhood, and I could just feel myself well up inside. I got a glimpse of what was going on in their life and what they needed at that time. And God was able to use that situation. The person could see that I was filled with compassion for them, and they took that as a real encouragement that I actually understood and I actually cared. So why don't we open up our eyes and see what God is doing, and let God open our hearts and break it for those around us? So helping without hurting means understanding who we are helping. Another thing that I think that we can do is to identify why we help, what motivates us to help. When I open the lid in my life on this subject and I think about the different reasons why I help, lots of stuff comes up. So firstly, the obvious, yes, I have empathy, my heart breaks for somebody and I just want to act, I want to help that person. But when I dig a bit deeper, I start to see other reasons coming out. Well, when I help somebody, I feel nice. I feel like a better person. I feel like a good person. That person likes me. What about you? What motivates you to help others? For me, I think this is a really, really tough question, because sometimes, especially for me, I think it reveals a greater need in me than it does in the other person. When I was growing up, there was at times loss and contention in my family home. So I asked myself, am I just helping people to try and fix a gap in my life or plug a hole in my life? Now, before I carry on, don't get me wrong, this isn't to say that because all these things are happening that we shouldn't do anything or that we should stop doing something just because it makes us feel good. But we just need to stop and think about why we're doing something and whether is that having a positive or a negative impact on the people that we're helping or on us. So identifying why we help is helping without hurting. Another thing that we can do is to love with limits. This sounds strange, but I think there's two sides to this coin. Firstly, as I was saying, it's about knowing who we are. And as I was saying earlier, knowing who we are is about knowing what we can do, the skills and the passions that God's given us. But it also means knowing what we can't do, knowing our limits. So what time and skills and energy can I give to the other person? But it also means understanding who we are helping, understanding what time, skills and energy I should give and what the other person is able to give. But where do I need to draw the line in the level of help that I do give to other people without hurting myself and other people? I think this can be a real struggle for a lot of us. We tend to throw ourselves and give everything and then have to pull back. But in my mind, there must be a middle ground, a place where we can create a way of serving that is sustainable. Now, Tim and Liz did an amazing job of talking to us last week about adoption and fostering. And especially for Tim and Naomi, they're just fantastic people, and God's given them an amazing capacity to love in that area. But for others of us, we may be more limited, and that really is okay. Because knowing who we are means knowing our limits as well. Now, I'd like to invite my good friend Elaine to come up. I've asked Elaine to come up because she's just generally a great person. And do you want to come up here? And she is... there we go, that's on. She's someone who has really understood who she is, what her calling is to help children in need. And she's done that through her life in various different jobs and roles. But she's also somebody who is just fantastic at understanding who she's helping, knowing what that person is feeling and what they need. And she's also on this journey of understanding what it means to help without hurting. So, Elaine, who are you and what do you do?
I'm Elaine, hi. And I manage the Child Contact Centre for the Vine.
Fantastic. And how do you go about helping others?
It's been a long journey, really. But I just feel that God's given me so much personally, and I just want to share that with everybody. I would like everyone that I know to know God's love. And one of the verses from Matthew 10, and it's verse 8, when Jesus is sending the disciples out, he tells them to say, tell them that the kingdom is near. Go out and heal the sick, raise the dead, kick out the demons and touch the untouchables. And at the end of that scripture, he says, freely you've been given, freely give. And I worked to that premise in a sense, you know, so you can give so much more out of that freedom that he's given you.
Brilliant. And when we're talking about the loving with limits, how do you manage situations where you feel that you're sort of stretched beyond your limit?
That's a difficult question. I am still learning how to do that because I never know when I've had enough. And then all of a sudden, you know, I've had crashed or something like that. So I'm learning to recognise, to go to God first with any problem or any, you know, heaviness that I experience. Just go to God first. Tell somebody, tell your small group, and just generally draw back. It's all or nothing with me, and I've got to learn to sort of pace myself, but never give up on what you're doing.
Brilliant. And in terms of the kind of the loving with limits, thinking about the Child Contact Centre that you run, do you want to say a bit more about that?
Yeah, we have to put firm boundaries in place for some of the parents. If you can imagine that they've probably had, you know, not a good life, and then they're separated from the parents and from the former partners and the children. So they come to contact with lots of, you know, resentment, bitterness, anxiety, fear, and they can present as either being extremely anxious or extremely hostile. So I think most of us on the teams, and we've got fabulous volunteer teams, understand that people are generally just scared. You know, they spent time away from the kids. They might have lost the house. They might have lost the job. So we understand that they can present as, you know, not badly behaved, but in your face a bit. So we just pour lots of love and sweetness on them at every time. So that's it. So one of the things that we do say when they come for a previous interview is we really understand that you've been through a lot of stuff and we really sympathise with you. But the most important person here is your child. So I think they get that eventually. And once they've had two or three sessions, you can see visibly that the parents have relaxed. So when that happens, that's really good.
Mm. Fantastic. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you, Elaine. So another thing that we can do is to love with limits. And finally, just thinking about it's a massive subject and there's so many ways that you can think about it. But just one final way that I think is helpful to help without hurting is to try and help people to help themselves. In Mark chapter 10, verse 46, we read another fantastic story with Jesus helping a chap called Bartimaeus. So we pick up the story at verse 46. It says, "Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting by the roadside, begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me!' Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me!' Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' So they called to the blind man, 'Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you.' Throwing his cloak aside," and that was to say that he was a beggar having a cloak, because the climate in Jericho at the time, he certainly wouldn't have required a cloak. "He jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. 'What do you want me to do for you?' asked Jesus. The blind man said, 'Rabbi, I want to see.' 'Go,' said Jesus, 'your faith has healed you.' Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road." So helping people help themselves, I think, is both the easiest and also the hardest way that we can help people. If we look at this story that we've just read, if you think about it, Jesus actually does very little for the person in terms of his time and energy. Yet, I completely agree, he heals him, and that's a big thing. But I think what he does more of is to lovingly challenge Bartimaeus through a question. He can see that Bartimaeus is ready to change his life, and so he challenges him on whether he is willing to give up begging and move on. If we think about it, Jesus could easily have given him money, or he could have just walked on by and left him. He could have forgiven his sins and let him carry on begging. But what he does is he asks a question, and he equips Bartimaeus to live life to the full. Gives Bartimaeus his sight to be able to follow Jesus, to work, to live life beyond begging and beyond being the victim. Empowering people to help themselves could be the best thing that we do for someone. As the saying goes, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Give him a fishing line and he can feed his family for life. Whatever that looks like, let's learn to ask questions. Let's learn to pick up when someone is ready to move on. Release them to grow through coaching, training, getting counselling, giving them opportunity to serve. Whatever it looks like, just be willing at the right time to equip them. Always, of course, remembering that we point people to Jesus, their ultimate helper. So, helping people help themselves. Helping without hurting means knowing who we are, understanding who we are helping, identifying why we help, loving with limits, and helping people to help themselves. We're so often left, as I say, feeling overwhelmed by the need around us, yet still passionate to do something, And I would encourage you to stay passionate. God has called us to be agents for change in this broken world. And that is what we can be. With God's help of the Holy Spirit, we can see God's kingdom come. And we can help without hurting. Amen. Do you want to stand up? I'd like to invite the leadership school, if any of those guys are here, I've asked them to just have a think and a pray before this Sunday to come up and take part in the ministry. Hello.
Hello. I'm back on.
Okay. Let's pray, and then if any of you guys have anything, then just grab the mic and we'll get going. So, Heavenly Father, would you come, Holy Spirit?
Just fill this place with your Spirit now. Just touch our hearts. Have any of you guys got anything?
Yeah. There's a story when Paul is. I won't give the whole story, but there's this guy who wants to believe, and Paul just says, "You need to believe." Paul's been in prison. Not communicating this very clearly, but the guy basically was wanting to believe, and he said to Paul, "I do believe, please help my unbelief." And I thought, if there's anyone who, you know, feels like they'd like to believe it, they just can't do that, then I would say, I feel like, you know, just even small steps is the first way to go. And so asking God for small assurances each day when you wake up. Just ask God for something today that reminds you that he is good and that he's with you. So if you're thinking, I want to believe, help my unbelief, then I believe that God will answer that call.
Thanks. I just get the sense that somebody here is feeling really fatigued. They've got compassion fatigue, and I just want them to know that you just need to take a rest and take time and turn to God and listen to what he's asking you to do, and it may be that you just need a different direction in where you help him.
I just got the sense that maybe there's a few of you that at the moment in your hearts just really want to I really desiring God and to seek God in your daily lives, and just and maybe struggling to see where he's at, and you really want to go out and you want to do his will where you're in your lives, wherever you may be, at work or at home, but you're maybe struggling to see where that is and what his will for you there is. And if that's you at the end, I think we'd love to pray for you and just to ask God to help you see where he is in that situation, and to see the great works that he's doing, and for you to get involved there.
I'm not sure. I sense that God using broken people to help other people, and you don't have to be in like the perfect place to help other people. So.
Kind of along the same lines as that, but also what Liz was saying earlier, and that actually some people have been broken and do feel broken and have got a fear about that now, and God wants to break that fear away so that you can then go and be that person that helps others.
And just Matt's earlier point around knowing what you've been called to help with, and I just feel there might be some people going, I'm not too sure what that is, but we'd love to pray for you if that's you.
Yeah, and one last thing that I had was similar to some of the things that these guys have said, but just I feel like there are people here who have maybe been hurt by somebody
thinking that they're trying to do something good or being helpful, but actually it has backfired and it's really caused a lot of hurt. And we'd love to be able to pray for you this morning to pray for healing and forgiveness in that area. So if any of those things resonate with you, then I'd really encourage you to come now and come forward and get prayer. Otherwise, if you're not engaged, then come forward and join in and pray. And don't forget to get your children. And that's about as formal an ending as we'll have. So do you want to come forward now and come and get prayed for?